Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you've caught up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
All my bets were safe. There just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you, this is Behind the Bets.
Welcome in the latest Behind the Bets podcast. We're taping this on Thursday, December 19th. This is the NFL podcast, the college one we did yesterday with both Matt Eumanns and John Murray. We did about the first wave of games, I like to call, through kind of Christmas. And then we'll do another college podcast next week in addition to another NFL podcast. This one, looking ahead to week 16. Travis, how are you, my friend?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. Got another winner in the bonanza, as did Mr. Executive Director. So as much as I'd like to see him give it winning picks here on the pod, I'm a competitive guy, so I like to close the gap here. I want to make things interesting. So I have a couple of things in mind here. I may have a live sort of middle attempt. We'll see that I'm going to flush out maybe with the director, maybe even save it for Twitter. So a lot of ground to make up, but we have until the end of the Super Bowl, obviously.
Just got to start wagering a little more than him.
I mean, I've been pressing dimes last couple weeks.
Yeah, but so did he, right?
I know.
So, yeah, you got to step it up a little more.
And then I pressed with the Russell Wilson prop a couple Sunday nights ago. Speaking of props, Mike Clay will join us at the end of the pod. He's got three for the Sunday nighter and Monday nighter. On Daily Wager, we'll do some props for the Saturday slate of games. Remember, no Thursday night game this week. Three on Saturday. Full card on Sunday, and then the last Monday nighter is Vikings hosting the Packers. Interesting line movement, reverse line movement on that. We'll discuss that and much more straight ahead with John Murray.
He started as a ticket writer.
Well, the handle has gotten a lot higher here in the last hour.
Now he's a race and sportsbook director.
I have the guys at work here calling me Mr. Director and not looking directly into my eyes.
With people.
Brought in a whole new staff this year. It's kind of a Seinfeld-esque move where we just rotate the guys so the material doesn't get stale, Doug.
What happened in between? A hot tub and ESPN.
Kicking is for losers.
He's here, folks. This is the time where we get to make fun of ridiculous coaching decisions stuff. You know, I did a podcast last week, and they said that they say I get all fired up on Twitter and stuff like that, and what gets me the most irked, if you will, and I just said, you know, dumb coaching decisions, because those are preventable. Mm-hmm. It's like the effort mistake versus the mental mistake, you know?
I think what gets me fired up the most is when I'm trying to watch one of these games and they just throw a flag on every play. Like, I was trying to watch the Philadelphia-Washington game on Sunday morning. It was just every play there was a flag. It was just unwatchable. The referee, the coaching decisions, the field goals are actually funny to me.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that game, because that was one of two just epic beats. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, where do you go with that game? And then,
I don't know.
We saw it coming.
Did you have Eumanns, Matt Eumanns from VSIN, on any of your programs this week? Because I did a show with him Sunday night. He was very upset. He had the Redskins plus +7, and he wasn't holding it together at all. He was very upset about the whole thing.
Yeah, we were texting to set up the timing for, like, yesterday's podcast, the college football podcast that we taped. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I'm actually going to get out the text while I'm talking, because the way he put it, I think I texted either Sunday or Monday, and he said, talking about how early it is, you know, he's a night owl and all that. He goes, I can do it, but I prefer not too early. If this work schedule does not burn me out, then endings like the Redskins yesterday might.
He was very upset. And then he was telling me he had some teaser bets with the Raiders, which was like, if you had the Raiders money line, that was maybe as bad as those other ones. I don't even know how that's possible that they managed to lose that game. That was one of the things that really saved our day Sunday. We lost on Sunday, but the Falcons winning and Jacksonville winning in the afternoon kept us from having just a catastrophe of a day.
So that Raiders game is ridiculous because of,
oh my God, it's absurd.
Because of the botched referee on the sliding. Right? I mean, that's the thing. The Raiders dominated the game statistically, but just even at the end of the game, forget like the bounces going your way. Derek Carr slides. The clock should have kept running. I can't believe you can't review it. It's just infuriating. And yeah, I did have a teaser, to be honest. I had a teaser in that game.
Well, I don't have the number in front of me, but I want to say the Raiders got into the Jacksonville side of the field 10 times during the game.
Yeah.
10 times they were in Jacksonville territory and they scored one touchdown. That doesn't even seem possible.
Well, that's why I said. I mean, throw out the statistics and stuff. Like just that one play alone was maddening.
I agree. I called it a Picasso of a loss, just a masterpiece of losing a football game. I'm still in shock by the whole thing. It was crazy.
I've just recapped my four best bets on Twitter. You know, obviously we do best bets on the show and everything. So my best bet on Sunday was the Niners game over. So taketh as much as you giveth, right? That ridiculous ending and the lateral play, and that got me the over. So that was
fortunate.
Yeah, scoring what, 13 points or whatever I scored in 4 seconds. And then I also on Saturday had the first half under in the Army-Navy game, and I don't know if how many people listening caught it, but basically you had an option team go the full like 80 yards in like a minute 20 for a touchdown. Field goal, I'm fine. Gets the touchdown, long scramble and run, then third and 11. It just 90% probably chance to cover that with a minute 28 to go or whatever it was. So horrible beat. Then I had Gonzaga minus 14 last night, give up back-to-back threes in the final 2 minutes to lose and land 13. It's just a roller coaster. Oh, I had the Nets on Tuesday night, minus 2.5 against the Pelicans, goes to overtime, I cover. So I went 2-2, but just like a roller coaster for like heart issues, if you will. So
If you bet enough games, if you've got enough volume, you're going to have some great lucky wins and you're going to have some horrible bad beats. That's just part of it. But even saying that, if you had the Redskins or you had the under in the Falcons game on Sunday, I wouldn't blame you for being pretty upset. That was pretty terrible.
Right. So I was on the Redskins. That was my best bet on Sunday morning for radio. It is what it is.
Should have got there.
But so the book didn't do well.
No.
Poor one out. Oh, woe is me.
Well, the morning was bad. It wasn't a terrible, terrible day, but certainly the morning games, everybody bet New England, everybody bet Kansas City, everybody bet Philadelphia, they bet Tampa Bay, they bet Seattle, actually. We got a little lucky there. Carolina managed to slip into the back door of that game. And then we did pretty well in the afternoon, actually. I mentioned the two big outright wins from underdogs, but we also won a lot on the Cardinals beating Cleveland. That was really good for the book. And then we lost a pretty good number on the Sunday night game. There's a lot of money on the Bills on Sunday night.
Really? That's interesting that with the Steelers fan base.
Yeah, there was more money on Buffalo, and then we had a couple house players come in at the end and bet Buffalo, and we were already kind of stuck to the Bills, so it was we lost. It wasn't like a huge, huge loss. I mean, Sunday night football, you'll usually have a really big decision, but we did lose on the game.
So the Titans finally lose. Did you have any square plays on the under? Did you have any like the masses on the dog?
Which game? The
Tennessee Houston. Or any other game?
I don't really recall any big square dog plays this week. Not really. I mean, really all the money just came in on all the favorites. I mean, you see how much the Tampa Bay and the Philadelphia lines went up, especially on Sunday morning. Even if you go back to Thursday, the Baltimore line got steamed all the way up to 17, and they covered.
Yeah, that's true. We were talking about it in the pod. It had the makings of a blowout, didn't it?
It did. I was definitely surprised they left Lamar Jackson in there for the whole game, to tell you the truth. But, yeah, it did. It did have the makings of a potential blowout.
But, you know, it's funny. I should have remembered that on Monday night against the Rams. Harbaugh left him in because he wants him to win the MVP because it's such a – it's not just any MVP. It's the guy that no one thought should play quarterback winning the MVP, which is a feather in Harbaugh's cap. So I can see a little bit of an ego move wanting – let's just say Lamar Jackson winning the MVP makes Harbaugh look really good.
Oh, it definitely does, especially at the age of 22, especially in his first full season as the starting quarterback.
More so than like Russell Wilson winning the MVP making Pete Carroll look good.
No, I agree with that. And I think between the performance on Thursday night against the Jets and if you go back to the previous Sunday night when Russell Wilson struggled so much in a loss to the Rams, with those two games – that really sealed the MVP for Lamar Jackson. He's going to be the MVP of the league.
So Caesars had a prop bet minus 3,500. Yes, no.
Yeah, we just closed it. We closed it after The last number we dealt, I think, was minus 1,100, but that was before that Rams-Seahawks game on Sunday night. I think that really ended it because Russell Wilson just didn't play well at all in that game. And then the Thursday night game was like the icing on the cake for Lamar. It's over.
Did you get involved as a player in Nevada? You could have gotten down on minus 3,500. Free money.
No, I didn't. It is free money. It's not as free money as Joe Burrow was to win the Heisman in New Jersey. I don't even know what to say about that other than what I've already said about it, which is I don't know that they really understood how the Heisman voting worked if they were allowing betting on it. But Lamar Jackson is also free money.
What was that story? Remind
our
listeners.
Had Darren Revelle tweeted about it. I mean, I'm talking like the Wednesday or Thursday before the Heisman. You could still bet Burrow at minus 10,000. And I know that minus 10,000, it's hard to make money, but it's free money.
Yeah, that was free money. That was like
no way.
Because the voting was closed. Now, it could have been something before the voting, like Johnny Manziel with the signatures and something off the field. But once the voting's closed, and on Wednesday, it's not even Monday afternoon. Yeah, that would have been free money if you had $100,000 to go win $1,000.
Well, you just had to wait 2 days to pick up your winnings. I saw that actually one person voted Tua for first place. That person shouldn't be allowed to vote for the Heisman Trophy anymore.
I don't think Chase Young. Like, I don't think anyone voting for Chase and Guy missed time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just kind of silly.
I thought there are people that left Joe Burrow off their ballot entirely. Those people should not be allowed to vote for the Heisman Trophy moving forward. That's laughable.
I agree with you. Let's move forward. So let's move to this slate.
All right.
No more Thursday games. Three good ones on Saturday. I'm excited for these. And we'll start with the early game, even though we go a little bit out of order in terms of rotation numbers. Houston at Tampa.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. I think the bowl handle on Saturday is going to be impacted by how good this NFL triple header is on Saturday. Everybody's on Houston in the first game. This number went from pick'em up to minus 3. Public's going to be all over the Texans. Texans still very much in the race for the AFC South and a home playoff game. The Buccaneers, I would call it a good year for Bruce Arians and the Buccaneers, but they don't have anything to play for in terms of playoff positioning. So we'll need Tampa Bay pretty big in the first game.
Where do you think this closes?
I don't know that it would close all the way up to 3.5. That just seems like too much to me. I think this one might close right where it is right now at 3.
Yeah, I guess the early, if it was the night game, maybe higher.
Right. I mean, there is some minus 3, minus 20 out there right now. I can't believe it would go to 3.5, but I've been wrong many times. Just if this game was later in the week, maybe, like if this was the Sunday night game and all the favorites were winning, then it would be a different story.
How about the Bucks? They've over an 11 of their last 12 games.
Yeah, well, Jameis Winston is my MVP vote. I know Lamar Jackson's going to get it, but Jameis, to me, is must-see TV. I like to watch him play every week.
Yeah, he has been crazy. It's just fascinating. But I'm going to ride that over again later in Bonanza. I just have to. I don't disagree with that.
I don't disagree.
Next game, really intriguing game. And I did a rant on Daily Wager yesterday in terms of the Bills. Why are we just dismissing the Bills? I know they're not world beaters. But you don't have to be in the NFL. It's not the NBA best of 7. We saw the Jaguars get to the AFC Championship game and get to within a whisker of the Super Bowl when they were actually favored on the live line in Foxborough. You don't even have to be the better team in that game. You just have to score more points. And I think they have the makings of a team that can get it done. I've been really impressed with their losses, both at home to New England, but also to Baltimore a couple weeks ago. I've been impressed with this Pats team, and I know we're kind of disregarding the Cowboys, but that was an impressive win on Thanksgiving as well. So my point is this. Are they the best team in the AFC? Of course not. Are they capable on any given Sunday to win the AFC? I think so.
Well, they have a great defense, and they have a very, very good coach. So I don't see why they couldn't string together some playoff wins. I mean, really, what do they really ask Josh Allen to do is maybe lead one or two drives a game. And he's shown the ability that he can do that. He's done it many times where they've needed a late touchdown, and he's led them on a drive and thrown a winning touchdown pass. I mean, obviously the guy doesn't throw for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns a game, but he's not asked to do that either. So I don't disagree with you. They've got so many good young players on their defense. They're so well coached. Why couldn't they win a couple games in January? It wouldn't surprise me. Like, there's no reason they couldn't go into Houston and beat the Texans in a wild card game. There's no reason at all that they couldn't do that.
We're going to learn a lot more about him, but I thought I learned a lot against him against the Ravens. That was a little bit of a empty tank on Baltimore, but still, what they did was really impressive, and they were right there. They were right there. Now, this game will be in Baltimore if they meet in the playoffs, but anyways, here you got 6.5. This was about the same line as it was at the Ralph earlier this season. Obviously, yeah. Buffalo's improved. New England's come down a little bit, but this line's still 6.5 and a low total of 36.5 or 37.
I think people have kind of caught on to what the New England offense is now, and what I mean by that is they can't block anybody. Brady's lost his fastball. He can't really throw the ball down the field anymore. The New England receivers don't get open for Brady. It's not all Brady's fault. Nobody's blocking for him, and nobody's getting open for him. There's only so much he can do. So this obviously sets up to be a defensive struggle. You'd certainly expect it to be with these two defenses and these two offenses getting together. And you see a really low total in this game. The betting on this game is going to be mostly money line parlays and teasers, starting with the Patriots and going to the 49ers in the night game Saturday.
Interesting. You think the Patriots will get the money? You don't think there'll be a public dog here?
Oh, the Bills will get some money. They'll get a lot more than the Rams. In fact, right now we actually have a few more tickets on Buffalo than New England. But there will be so many money line parlays and teasers with New England, we'll end up needing the Bills when the game starts.
Yeah, that is a prime candidate. Island game, 6.5, popular team, defending Super Bowl champ at home for a teaser. So I certainly understand that. Let's go to the next game. I'm surprised this line's not higher.
The Rams 49ers? Yeah. Well, the thought process, are you saying that because you think the Rams are out of the playoffs? Or
basically.
Just in general?
Yeah. Both.
The Niners are a little dinged up, though. And we saw that come back to haunt them a little bit on Sunday. Everybody's on the Niners here, at least. The ticket count's about 6.5 to 1. And like I said, so many parlays and teasers are going to go to the Niners, too. So the Rams will be, I'd say almost for sure, the Rams will be our biggest need of the day on Saturday.
Yeah, I like the Niners in a teaser. Don't like the Patriots. Don't love the Patriots in a teaser.
The Patriots are risky. Like, would you really be that surprised if Buffalo won the game? You know, New England
That's
can
my
still
point.
Win the
division. Yeah.
New England still wins the division as long as they beat Miami next Sunday at home. It wouldn't be that shocking to me if the Bills won the game. I'm not going to bet on that, but it wouldn't surprise me that much.
Yeah, I think the mobility of Josh Allen puts a wrinkle into that Patriots defense where they can't be as dominant. Obviously, that's what mobile quarterbacks do. They limit the domination, but you saw what they did to Andy Dalton and company. When you get these statue quarterbacks, the Patriots can be really lethal, and you have to be a huge playmaker to beat them, like Mahomes or someone like that. And Allen is a variation of a kind of a dual threat, and I wouldn't be that stunned because their defense is so strong. So, I mean, look, there's a lot of teaser options on the board. There's tons of sevens, tons of sixes here. The Patriots would not be my top choice. That's all I'm saying. I think I do look like the Niners in the situation. Niners are animals. They're beasts, man. They've had some such impressive games. The win at New Orleans was so impressive. Even the 3-point loss in Baltimore was so impressive.
I thought they looked really good in that Baltimore game.
Yeah,
I agree with you. That was
tough.
A very well-played game. Both coaches were really aggressive on fourth down in that game. That was my favorite game to watch this year in the NFL.
More with John Murray momentarily. But first, if you missed out on the playoffs, the good news is you don't have to feel left out. Get your fantasy fix with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy. And if you've never played before, there's even more good news. New users can get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stand to the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. And be sure to check out the newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Download the DraftKings app now and use code Doug. New users enter code Doug at signup to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Doug to get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Let's go to Sunday because we have a lot of bad teams laying some serious points. Okay.
And I got like no talking points on about half these Sunday games. So I'll tell you that right. I don't know. I don't even know how we're going to do a podcast. I mean,
we'll manage, Murray. We'll manage.
there's so many duds on Sunday. Like the triple header Saturday is really solid. No one's arguing with that. But this Sunday slate, it's not pretty.
We'll rip through some of the bad ones if we don't have anything. What's Denver doing laying 7?
Oh, Detroit's down with third string QB. I don't know. I mean, that number does seem a little high to me. We opened at Denver 6. They laid 6. They pushed us up to 7. There's not a, I'll be honest with you, there's not a whole lot of money on the game, period.
Yeah,
but the betting markets have drifted up on Denver a little bit here.
What are the Chargers laying 7? Like how?
Well, this one's moved up a lot. I mean, this one has moved up from like the 4.5-5 range all the way to 7. I've heard people say that it's Philip Rivers' last home game. I mean, do we consider this a home game for the Chargers? I don't know why Raiders or Chargers fans would care about this game. And I don't know that it matters if it is Philip Rivers' last home game the way I've watched him play the last few weeks. I think the idea is that the Raiders have quit on the season. But the Chargers sure look like they'd quit in their blowout loss to Minnesota on Sunday last week. So, again, there's not a whole lot of money on this game either.
Yeah, I mean, the under 6.5 of the Raiders win total is in play.
Oh, it definitely is. And that's something. So this time of year, one thing that's interesting behind the counter is, you know, we're looking at all the season stuff because that's coming down to the wire. And something like the Raiders win total is something we're keeping an eye on. We really don't want to see the Titans make the playoffs. That's a big loser for us.
Do you shade your lines in week 17?
No, we won't really do that unless it's something really huge. Like, I don't know if you remember this, but last year we had that monster bet on the Vikings to make the playoffs. Yeah. I think it was like 240,000 to win 120,000. And yes, that was considered when we made that Chicago-Minnesota week 17 number, the money line number. But this year we'll just let the chips fall where they may.
Okay, and I laughed about the Raiders. I believe they've lost 5 in a row. So they're sitting on 6 wins for several weeks now. And
yeah,
they're on the road.
That'd be good for us. We want to see Tennessee miss the playoffs. We actually, I don't think it's, is it possible for both Tennessee and Pittsburgh to make the playoffs? Because that'd be great. I don't think that, or miss the playoffs. I don't think that's possible, though. I think one of those two is going to get in.
All right, so Raiders are now 7-point dogs. Be interesting, giant flat spot if there is one, but I don't trust the Chargers, and you know you've talked about it. Chargers never good home chalk there.
No, definitely not.
My other teaser next one is the Falcons. The Falcons, as bad as they are overall, but they've been solid the last month, are laying the full 7 against the Jags, so I'm ready to fade again.
Yeah, we've been at 7 all week on this game, total 46.5. Moved up a little bit from 45.5, but not much action to report, really. There's a few parlay tickets to Atlanta in this game, but other than that, very light ticket count on the straight bets and just some parlays to the Falcons. This looks like just a classic game. It's going to get lost in the shuffle at 10 a.m. local time out here.
Yeah, the Falcons, that is blowout potential. The Jags are terrible. They really are. They got the win last week. Great, celebrate. I think the Falcons, unless it's a giant flat spot for them, I think they roll big time here.
I agree with you that the Jacksonville's terrible. I don't know. I never know what to think of Atlanta. I still don't understand how they ever started the year 1-7 with all the talent on their roster. It just doesn't seem possible.
There'll be some fun eliminator picks. I'm still alive in mine after I got KC to win last week. I think I might take Atlanta this week.
Oh, you're still alive in yours?
God, well, we've talked about it before. It's the third version of the league where everyone lost twice.
Yeah. Right.
Although three guys got eliminated a couple weeks ago, so we're down to 3. Okay, so
still pretty good.
Yeah, I like the Falcons a lot here. Okay, New Orleans at Tennessee, epic game. Obviously, the Saints, I mean, look, the Colts never had a shot. That was pathetic performance by them. Obviously, New Orleans looked better than they are. Tennessee, weird, wonky interception on the goal line. The over streak for Tennessee comes to a screeching halt. I believe it had been 7 or 8 in a row. So this one's a 2.5 road favorite, 50.5.
Yeah, and this will be our second biggest need of the morning games. We'll be on the Titans. Tickets are about 7-1 on New Orleans. A lot of parlays with New Orleans. We'll need Tennessee pretty big in this game. This is a classic spot for the public to get involved. New Orleans is a cheap road favorite. New Orleans needs the win. New Orleans just had a great win on Monday Night Football. Everybody's going to be on the Saints here. It'll be our second biggest need of the morning.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. The public remembers what they last saw. And what we last saw with the Redskins was an epic, epic failed cover. They actually almost won the game. It's hard to go from almost winning the game in the final seconds to not covering seven. But that happened. I kind of like the Skins here at home laying 2.5. But, I mean, can you really lay points with them against the Giants?
Well, nobody is here, I can tell you that much. Not that there's a lot of people taking the Giants either. We got Washington minus 2.5 with a total of 42, and there's a couple of tickets on New York, but really very, very low-handle game. Can't imagine anybody's going to be at that game. I don't know why anybody would possibly go to FedEx Field on Sunday to watch these two teams play each other. Not really, no real talking points on this one.
I know people who went to the Dolphins-Giants game last week who are Dolphins fans who obviously don't get to see their team that often, maybe sick of going to Foxborough, went to MetLife and saw them. I was like, that's aggressive.
That's commitment to the bit. I'll give them that.
I would think you're going to need Pittsburgh in the next game, but not convinced. The number's 3 here at the Jets.
Yeah, we've got about a 4-1 ticket count on Pittsburgh right now. Steelers minus 3, total 37. The total's actually come down from 39 down to 37 this week. So there has been some money to report there on the under. I think we'll need the dog here for a little bit, but I don't anticipate it being one of the bigger decisions. There's a few other games on the board this week that are going to be pretty major decisions. And
right.
I don't think that this game's going to be one of those games.
For the first time all season, the Miami Dolphins are favored. Minus 1 at your book. Pick everywhere else at home here. I'm stunned that they're favored, but then again, like, you know, you're not going to exactly favor the Bengals on the road.
No, and I said I thought it would be funny if this was the Sunday night game. I thought that'd be, like, flex this into the Sunday night game. I thought that'd be funny. I didn't get my wish there.
No.
We got a few tickets on Miami here. Not really much on Cincinnati, to tell you the truth. The total's 46.5, up a little bit from 46, but it's a pretty low-volume game. Bengals can lock up the first overall pick with a loss here.
Why are you 1 and everywhere else's pick?
What's the difference, I guess, would be the answer. But, I mean, we lean a little bit to Miami in this spot. Just a little bit. Miami's been pretty frisky down the stretch, and we don't think much of that guy coaching the Bengals.
Interesting. The next game kind of boggles my mind to the point where I think it might be a square dog. Carolina getting a full 7 in Indy?
Yeah, we got Colts minus 7. I had a meeting yesterday. One of our guys, Eric Osterman, pinch hit for me, and he gave Colts minus 7 to Brent Musburger for his VSIN entry. Although those plays have been cold the last few weeks. We got off to such a great start with those, and we've really kind of faded out here down the stretch, so I don't know that you really want to follow that. We don't have a single person that's made a straight bet on the Colts here, by the way. That's not been a popular play. Will Greer going to start at quarterback for Carolina here.
I know it's not Kyle Allen, but still, man. But there's – I got to dig up the stat, but first-time newbie starting quarterbacks in the NFL are, like, really good ATS at home, really bad on the road. It's really a distinct difference. But I don't know, man. Colts, come on. Lane 7?
Yeah, the Colts season, obviously, you know, I just said we've been kind of fading down the stretch with our picks for Brent. The Colts have been fading down the stretch with their season in general. They got off to a great start, but losing their starting quarterback, their all-pro quarterback right before the season, you had to think that would catch up to them eventually, and it has.
Yeah, they played hard last week, though. I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the Panthers. They played hard last week, and that's why I'm kind of leaning to the plus 7, but maybe it's a pass. Maybe it's a pass here. Okay, this one's really interesting. I sniffed out the Cleveland egg, got it. Arizona wins outright. But now Cleveland's catching a full 10 against a division rival in the Ravens, who are looking for revenge, the one seed, all that good stuff. There's a tax here, but I still like Baltimore, I think.
Well, I teased it up a little bit earlier. I said that the Titans would be our second biggest need in the morning, and the biggest need in the morning is going to be Cleveland. Everybody's going to bet Baltimore. They're already all betting Baltimore. The Ravens are a 10-point favorite, total of 49. And the Ravens have become the most public team in the NFL the last few weeks, and we're going to need Cleveland huge in this game. Did I black out and dream this? The Browns are bringing Freddie Kitchens back for another season?
I think it was the dreaded vote of confidence. I don't know if it's
just a vote of confidence
or something.
Wow. Well, either way, I wouldn't give him a vote of anything. We'll need the Browns really big in this game, and I'm sure everybody in town will as well.
What do you think it closes?
Can it really go even higher than 10?
Yes,
I mean, I feel
the
like
answer
10
is yes.
Already so high. I mean, Cleveland was favored on the road last week. I mean, I know the Arizona sucks, but still, I mean, that's yeah. I guess it's possible. I guess it's possible that we could see a 10.5. Actually, right now, Coast has 10.5. So yes.
Yeah, I think 12's on the table.
Well, no one's going to bet Cleveland. I can tell you that much. So the books will need the Browns huge.
I love that stuff when you just get the incredibly lopsided handle. It's just fun to watch.
It's going to be massive. And, you know, no matter what you do, I always hear this, well, why don't you just balance the books? And it's like, well, no matter what we do, the public guys that are here are just going to lay the points. It doesn't matter what we move the number to. They're just going to lay Baltimore.
Well, you were getting when you launched the LSU Oklahoma line, like you got it was it settled at 13. That was two way, right?
No, it was still mostly LSU. Yeah, well, more two way than this Cleveland Baltimore game.
Right.
Yes.
Now,
yes,
granted, it was a month in advance or whatever it was, 3 weeks in advance.
You're right.
I love watching and kind of predicting where these lines go. It's just really entertaining and fun. And then I think of the sweat behind the counter and then the dealing with the suits upstairs. I mean, you guys always end up winning anyway, so it doesn't matter, but. It is fun to forecast. Okay, this one's interesting because of the news with Dak Prescott. And it was off the board at some places yesterday, but Dallas is a road favorite here. Not surprising, all things considered, given how the Cowboys looked not only last week but in the previous meeting at home with Philly. But the injury kind of is, it's not just a little thing, it sounds like.
We talked about it actually when I walked in the door this morning. We put it back up. We put up Dallas -1.5 with a total of 46. We're going to need Philadelphia pretty big in this game. I know that there's all this stuff out there about Dak being hurt, but everybody was betting on the Cowboys before that, and they're still going to bet on the Cowboys. Philadelphia, if you look at their last three games, they were very lucky to beat Washington. They were very lucky to beat the Giants, two garbage teams. And then even going back the week before that, they lost to the Dolphins. In a game which they were a 10-point favorite. I mean, Philadelphia is just hanging on by a thread right now. People are all going to remember that Dallas performance against L.A. last Sunday afternoon, and they're all going to bet Dallas in this game. And Philadelphia is going to be one of our biggest needs of the week.
But then, because the Eagles also have injuries. I mean, that's another layer, especially Lane Johnson. Carson Wentz's statistics are off the charts. I'm sorry. The difference in production with the QBR and everything is very distinct with and without Lane Johnson.
Oh, there's no doubt. And the Eagles have had injuries all year. I mean, right now they've got Lane Johnson, Jordan Howard, Derek Barnett, Nelson Agholor all listed as questionable. I don't even have time to run through all the guys they have out. Alshon Jeffrey's out. I mean, they got a whole bunch of guys out. Philadelphia's been dealing with these injury problems all season. Dak Prescott is listed as questionable, but we do expect him to play on Sunday.
Okay. And then you'll obviously monitor that. Are limits lower because of the injury uncertainty? Than they normally would be on a Thursday?
We don't really do stuff like that. We'll just keep an eye on it. I mean, if one of our house players wanted to make a big bet on the game, we would still let him bet on the game. If a guy we didn't know wanted to make a big bet on the game, we might consider taking a little bit less than normal. But we don't give huge bets to people we're not familiar with anyway, no matter what's going on.
Okay. Fair enough. Arizona-Seattle. This one has, beat down, written all over, just given what the Seahawks have to play for. But this Arizona team can be frisky.
They can. I said this on another show. They're good at covering spreads because Kingsbury will kick these 18- and 19-yard field goals, pick up those critical 3 points to stay within the number. This is exactly the kind of game Arizona's covered all year, these road dog situations. And Seattle really hasn't been that good at home this season, which has been kind of different from the recent history for the Seahawks.
So that one's 9.5. High total, 51. So this could be a money line parlay game in the afternoon for a lot.
Oh, it will be. Yeah. It will. You're exactly right. It'll be a money line parlay game. We already have a bunch of them, actually. We already have a pretty big liability going to the Seattle money line. There's no doubt.
So I'm sure it came down to the final vote, but Miami Cincy did not get flexed. Instead, it's the Chiefs-Bears. And
Yeah, I think the Chiefs-Bears was the original Sunday night game, and they couldn't move Philadelphia-Dallas because Fox had, had that game blocked as like the America's Game of the Week. That's why I'm saying, why not just go with Bengals-Dolphins? I mean, who cares about Chiefs-Bears?
These networks could have put some other games there, although the Saturday games you can't move. That's a good point. So
yeah. No, the Chiefs-Bears was a logical game to keep there, and it's going to be a really good handle game. Kansas City may end up being our biggest liability of the week because of the time slot. Like right now it's Baltimore, but as all the stuff rolls into the Sunday night game, it may end up being Kansas City by kickoff. Right now the Chiefs are a 6-point favorite, total of 44.5. I think that total's come down a little bit from 45.5 down to 44.5.
I was pretty impressed with the Chiefs. Took care of business in the elements. Well done. Like
I was very impressed.
That's what
I couldn't agree with you more. I think Mahomes threw for like 340 yards in a snowstorm. I don't know how you couldn't be impressed with that. I totally agree with you on that.
So that'll be your biggest need, you think? If things play out a certain way on Sunday.
I would say most likely yes.
All right.
Baltimore is going to be a huge liability too, though, for sure.
Monday night, I'm expecting a bat signal for...
Stop! Have a time!
I have a feeling this will be the square dog big time.
It already is. I mean, it's already like 2-1 on Green Bay, and the line is moving up. It's moved up from 4.5 to 5.5. I don't really like much this week, to be completely honest with you, but I am planning to have a play on this game in the Bonanza.
I know you too well. I knew it.
I was talking to my good friend, our prop guy. He wants to redeem himself for his Thanksgiving disappointment. And he's got a prop lined up for this game as well, a little Monday Night Football present to the listeners. So
the Prince of Props returns.
I'll give you that on Twitter later this week.
He certainly loves his holiday betting.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know what that's all about. I'll have to confront him about that. That maybe he just associates the holidays with degenerate gambling on football.
Or stimulation, no work. I mean, there's other ways to...
Yeah.
Phrase it.
We'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But, yeah, it's funny. We're actually probably going to need Minnesota here. The public has been betting Green Bay, and our number, at least at this book, has moved from as low as 4 all the way up to 5.5 on the Vikings.
So is that just you're moving with the market, or have you taken respected plays on the Vikes?
No, we've just been moving with the market on that game.
Because Dalvin Cook's not supposed to play. I'm surprised this number's so high.
Yeah, I mean, it looks high, and that's kind of why I like Minnesota, to be completely honest with you. I know the way people are going to bet this game, and you know how I feel about Green Bay. You know, I haven't liked them all year.
See, I kind of have.
And Green Bay, by the way, can still win this division as long as they win next Sunday at Detroit in a game in which they'll be close to a double-digit favorite in. So keep that in mind, too.
Yeah, it's also Kirk Cousins on Monday night.
Yeah.
Now, in fairness, I think he's like 0-8 all time, but he's played well. Like, last time he played well, they just didn't get the win. I mean, I think it's kind of a silly stat, but it is. Well, first of all, so we discuss it on the show a lot. We call it trend or trap, right? Is this a legitimate trend? Like, the Army-Navy under 13 straight years is actual substance to that because the power ratings – for that particular season are formulated on a schedule against teams that not used to facing the triple option, but then they play against defenses who are used to facing it every day in practice. So therefore there is rationale to that trend. The Kirk Cousins thing, like there is to a certain extent if he had horrible numbers. Like the Monday Night Football is just different. Like your interviews with the media are amplified. It's Monday night, it's the buildup. So if you are a guy who's a little shaky under pressure or shaky under the bright lights, you are going to struggle in that sort of environment, that attention. Like we talk about it with free throw shooters in the NBA, that it's just another case of the yips. Like a lot of these guys, like DeAndre Jordan, make their free throws in practice, but the stress and the situation and the crowd and all that. I mean, Tom, I've referenced it before. Haberstroh wrote a great piece a few years ago on just sort of the mental component, the yips parallels. So there is potential substance to that, but Cousins has played well and it's a team game. So I kind of disregard some of it.
And a lot of his Monday night games were with the Redskins, who sucked. Let's keep that in mind, too.
You had a much more succinct opinion on it.
I'm not a big believer in the clutch gene thing, but I will say that Cousins, I mean, I've seen Cousins blow it in big games. I mean, speaking of the Redskins, they actually would have made it to the playoffs in consecutive years if they'd just beaten the Giants as like a 10-point favorite on the last day of the year in 2016. People act like the Redskins have been terrible for so long, but the reality is they've been kind of mediocre for the last 10 or 15 years, and they would have had back-to-back playoff seasons with one game as a near double-digit favorite, and Cousins played awful and gave the game away. And then I'm sure we all remember last year he gave that game away to the Bears in Week 17, in which they were a big favorite. So there is a history there of him blowing it as a favorite in these like must-win scenarios.
Right. So, okay. So that's a – where do you think that line closes?
I can't imagine it goes higher than 5.5. I really can't.
Me neither.
I mean, 5.5 seems like top of the market, and I'd be surprised. I'm going to use it as my play in our show because I just truly don't like anything else on this board. I don't see anything I'd want to get involved in on Sunday or Saturday, and I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, saying that I think Green Bay is overrated.
Okay, let's get to it.
It's time for Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
All right, my friend, you mentioned that you guys have been struggling with Mr. Musburger, but you had a winner last week in Baby Bankroll Bonanza, as did I. We both win a dime. You took the Texans +3.
I really liked the Texans last week. They got up 14-0. The game ended up being tied at 14, and then they went on a nice touchdown drive. That was a good win for Houston. That's where Houston keeps winning, though, is in these situations where they're like a cheap road underdog.
Mm-hmm.
It's when they go home and everybody expects them to win. That's when they seem to always lay an egg. I think it's the mark of a bad coach because clearly he has the talent to win at the Chiefs, at the Titans, and then he blows these games at home, and I blame it on him.
And I got there with the Chiefs, the Cincy team total under. Didn't look good to start in the first quarter, but got there by the hair on my little chinny chin chin. Is that the phrase? I got the nice field goal on fourth down, down 17. They kicked the field
critical.
Goal.
And, the critical field goal, yeah.
So my team total hits. I actually did pretty well last week in the NFL, all things considered. So right. I was unable to create any distance with you, Murray. But we're going through the playoffs, so I got plenty of weeks left, not just two in the regular season. So we each win a dime. You're going to go first, and I take it you're taking the Vikings. For how much?
Yeah, I'll do Minnesota. It's -5.5 everywhere. I was looking to cheat with a rogue number somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and the board is clean. Everybody's got a 5.5 in Nevada, so and that's what we have at the Westgate. And I'll go Minnesota -5.5 for 500 with plans to give you a prop bet later in the week. But for now, that's all I'm going to do for week 16.
I probably will get involved with some live trading. I'm thinking Niners, but... for now, I will do a dime on the Falcons -7.
Okay,
that's market number, right? Like the
I mean, I don't. Let me look at the screen. We got 7 here. It looks like everybody in Nevada's got 7 too. Yeah. So you're good.
Some guy was criticizing me on Twitter, saying trying to do the team total thing and being rogue with like DraftKings. I was like, look, I wasn't exactly taking a prop that was on DraftKings of like over under punts in the first half. It wasn't a ridiculous thing. It's just, that was the only place that had a team total up, and I didn't think you'd give me one because you guys had not posted it. That is all. We try to keep things above board. I did bend the rule. I did tweak the rules.
Me, DK.
I know.
Didn't I bless it? I mean, didn't I tell you what our team total would be on Sunday morning?
I was also speaking to the pet masses that were listening, maybe questioning, and weren't tweeting at me. So sure it wasn't a rogue official, as David Stern liked to say once.
I think we're going to be okay.
I think I'm going to do some teaser. There might be a lot of action here. I'm just wondering like how much I need to get involved now because of line movement. I think we're okay. I do think the Falcons is a good teaser, but I think I'm just going to do the 7 there. We'll see. All right, man. I think that does it for us. Look, have a awesome break. We'll touch base next week and keep doing the Lord's work out there behind the counter.
2 more weeks of the regular season, and then I think, I said there was a lot of games with low volume this week, because it's true, and there's a lot of games that are hard to get excited about, but it will be fun when we do get into the playoffs here in a couple of weeks, so I'm looking forward to that.
All right, me too, bud. Be well.
All right, take care.
This has been Baby Bankroll Bonanza.
Nerd alert!
Ah, the mating call for our Mike Clay. Mike, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. We're getting close to the holidays here. It's winding down.
Yeah, you're on a time crunch today. You got a daughter's what, recital?
I have a Christmas party.
Christmas
party.
That's
what we have, a holiday party. One today for one girl, one tomorrow for the other. So it's that time of the year.
Look at you all adulting outside of this boys game we play, this child's game we play.
I know, right? The shopping and the, you know, it's just, man. And like Christmas came quick this year, right? Is that we had a late Thanksgiving, so it's just, it's coming quick.
Oh yeah, we did. Because my birthday's always around Thanksgiving. It's usually like a day or two before the holiday. Yeah. But this year it was like a week before.
Yeah, it ended. It's like, got to shop now. Got to get everything.
You know, you mathematically showed why it does feel like it snuck up on you. It actually did. Awesome stuff, man. So last week, how did we do?
We were 2-2 last week. 2-2. We got bit. I thought I had Monday night in the bag with Jacoby Brissett, but especially after the first drive, but he did not get to our two passing touchdowns. I thought he would have had that. And then in garbage time, you thought, right? When they were getting blown out, it never happened. So that one hurt a little bit.
He was terrible.
We had a 500 week. A rare. That's one of our worst weeks in a while.
I liked your Darnold play, but that didn't get there either.
Yeah,
over completions.
Yeah, that one was really close too. Those were our two misses last week
because they were moving the ball. They were doing things, some things offensively, like the picks. And I knew the Ravens would score lots of the Darnold. It was a strong, just thought process.
Yeah, if they would have stopped the Ravens there at the end and got the ball back, he would have got there. I think he missed by one. It might have been two. It was really close.
Also, they had big chunk plays too. I know that's the nature of the beast. But okay, so 2-2. Let's turn the page. We have a. No more Thursday games, so we're not up against the clock for tonight's kickoff, but we have three on Saturday, and you have three plays for the entire weekend, so fire away.
I do. I'm going with the Sunday and Monday primetime games. We'll start with Chiefs-Bears here, and I'm going to go against a guy who some feel was a Pro Bowl snub. He was very close, certainly worthy of being on the radar, Allen Robinson, but I'm going to go under here, under 60.5 receiving yards. It's minus $1.10. Look, he's reached 69 yards in 8 of his 12 games this season. So he's been kind of, you know, in that 50-50 range. But here's the thing. The games where he's fallen short, they've been in really tough matchups. So we're talking about teams that are really good against perimeter receivers, really good against number one receivers. That includes the Cowboys, the Rams, the Chargers, the Redskins, the Broncos. All those teams very good against outside receivers or number ones. And that is notable this week because, believe it or not, the Chiefs are one of those defenses. In fact, maybe the best. They've allowed a league-low 132 receptions to wide receivers this season. Think about how dominant some defenses like the Niners and the Patriots have been. The Chiefs have allowed fewer receptions than every other defense in the NFL. They've also seen the fourth fewest targets to that position. They've allowed the fourth fewest receiving yards, the sixth lowest yards per target at 7.5, the second lowest catch rate to receivers at 57%. Robinson, he gets some run in the slot, but most of his routes come on the perimeter. He does get heavily targeted. That's good for him. But in this matchup, I think it's one of them weeks where he's going to fall short.
Okay. So you went straight to Sunday. You got nothing Saturday then?
Saturday. Went right to Sunday night, Chiefs-Bears.
All right. Okay. What's your next one?
Two for Monday night here. So we're talking Packers and Vikings in this one.
It looks like Dalvin Cook unlikely to play. That's the best status we're getting.
Exactly right, yes. I believe Adam Schefter reported that really the other night. He speculated, and then he reported it looks like he's not going to play. Courtney Cronin agrees with that as well, covers the Vikings for us here at ESPN, of course. But nonetheless, I'm going to be on the Packers side here, and these two kind of work together, a receiver and quarterback combo. Aaron Rodgers over 249.5 passing yards. Now, believe it or not, Rodgers has only reached 250 in four games this season, but game script has been a big reason for that. This is still a pass-heavy offense if you adjust for game script, but they've been ahead 54% of the time. That's fourth highest in the NFL, so they've been able to lean on the run more than maybe they would even prefer to be quite honest, but when you're winning, that's good, and you can run the ball. They've called pass, Doug, 59% of the time during their 11 wins. But 74% of the time during their three losses. We know they will throw it even when, you know, in close games when they're trailing. The Vikings, by the way, again, not very good against the pass this season. They face the fifth most pass attempts. They've allowed the fourth most completions on the year. They also rank in the upper half of the league in passing yards and completion percentage allowed at 65%. And again, I lay all that out about the game script because the Packers are, you know, rare underdogs this week. They're 4.5-point underdogs in Minnesota. So, again, we think Rodgers will throw the ball more often. I have him closer to 276 yards. It's a pretty sizable gap over the line.
Wow. All right.
So, that's Rodgers.
Uh-huh.
And then
the final one.
You probably can guess where I'm going with Devontae Adams then, right? His top receiver.
Under.
No, over. I'm going over. I'm going over. 75.5 is the line here for Davante Adams in receiving yards, minus $1.10 again. He's only reached 76 yards in four of his 10 games. But again, a lot with the game script is you know, applies here as well. One of those came last week. He had 7 for 103 and a touchdown on 13 targets against Chicago. You like that volume. Another was back in week two against these Vikings, who they're, of course, playing this week, had 7 catches for 106 yards in that game on 9 targets. The real key for this one is the fact that the Vikings have been awful against perimeter receivers this season. Adams lines up outside 74% of the time. Of the 13 receivers that have reached 76 yards against the Vikings this season, 10 primarily align on the perimeter. They face the 10th most wide receiver targets this season, the Vikings have, but they've allowed the 4th most receptions and the 10th most receiving yards. They're allowing a 68% catch rate. They've really, really struggled against outside wide receivers. By the way, Davante Adams, believe it or not, is enjoying a career-high 30.1% target share this season. That's almost 10 targets per game. He's also been targeted at least 9 times in 8 games this season. So, Doug, I have him at 85 yards, heavily targeted, great matchup. Packers have to throw more than usual. A lot to like here.
Okay. That's good stuff. So, we had Seth Walder on Daily Wager a week or so ago talking about Aaron Rodgers and FPI, sort of a new kind of metric in terms of pass blocking. Said he had the best offensive line in terms of pass blocking, but the production wasn't there. What did you make of some of that, or is that something you can incorporate moving forward?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Rodgers has not been quite as dominant in the past few years, and his efficiency, like I mentioned, he hasn't really been hitting his expected passing
yards.
That's
what triggered it.
The efficiency has been down. There are a lot of concerns for sure. Also, again, the game scripts haven't put him in a position where he has to throw the ball a lot. But it's definitely a concern. He's playing like an average quarterback the past few years, and I think that maybe catches up to them come playoff time. But for now, you know, volume is king when it comes to player props, fantasy, you name it, and he should get more than usual in this game. And that's good that he's a good pass blocker. Yeah. We want that. That just helps our cause here for sure.
Yeah, we had Orlovsky on the show yesterday, and I kind of re-teed him on that sort of point. He just said the margin of error. I mean, you're talking about a couple misses, and all of a sudden these are like long drives instead of a 3-and-out, right? One miss here and there, and it's just the margin of error in the NFL at that level, a league of parity. So it's fascinating when you have a guy with such praise across the NFL in terms of a guy like Rodgers. When you hear that kind of stuff, it's just fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and by the way, I mean, his supporting cast hasn't been great, right? It's not the same old Jimmy Graham. He doesn't have many good receivers behind or reliable receivers behind Davante Adams, which is kind of why he's forcing the ball to him. And honestly, with the props we just talked about, that's going to help us quite
for
a bit.
Sure.
They're going to have to throw more than usual. Ball's going to Davante Adams.
All right, man. Well, Merry Christmas. Enjoy the adulting with the children. And thanks for squeezing us in and always finding time.
Will do. Merry Christmas. Thank you.
Pay that man his money.
That's certainly what we hope to have your guy do as we clean up not just on the props, but also the bonanza picks and everything else we discussed on this podcast. So thanks to Mike Clay. Thanks to John Murray. Really appreciate everyone's time and tough scheduling around the holidays, but I appreciate it, and I know our listeners do too as well. Travis, how are you feeling for the holidays? Are you going to be around?
I'll be around, and then I fly out. I'm going back to Ohio on Friday.
Next Friday, so after Christmas.
After Christmas.
Get a little break.
Yeah, so.
Well, it's exciting, dude. I'm happy for you to go home to Ohio. We'll be spending the holidays together here. We'll have some podcasts next week. We haven't figured out the exact schedule, but we'll work on it, and obviously we'll give you ample time before the kickoffs because, again, no midweek games in the NFL.
Yep. So just follow Doug on social media and you'll get your updates.
Yeah, man. And we're posting the pod on what? Spotify? Is that what it's called?
Oh, Spotify right now. I mean, you can get it just anywhere you get your podcast, but that's just what we've been posting lately.
All right. But, man, good luck to everyone this weekend.